Parshas Yitro. Okay, I'm going to tell you over Gemara and Zvachim. Zvachim Kuptas Zayin Ran Aleph. It says the following. It says, when the Torah was given to Bnei Yisrael, there was a coal that went throughout the entire world. I guess this loud noise. The whole world trembled. The kings of all the nations, they were scared. And they sat there and they didn't know what to do. So there was something, the Gemara says something strange, that all the nations of the world realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had done something, and they think, Shira to Hashem. But they all ran to Bilam HaRasha. They all ran to Bilam. And they asked Bilam, what's going on? What's happening right now? Why is everybody going so crazy? So the first thing they said was, is it a marvel? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing a marvel to the world? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, it's not. And Bilam said, no, it's not going to be a marvel. They said, so what could it be? What could be this loud noise? What in the world is causing this loud noise? And they said, Bilam said, Hashem is a special treasure that he's been hiding for 974 generations. Now, unfortunately, we're not going to go through those 974 generations. But he's been hiding this for 974 generations. And finally, he's giving it to Bnei Yisrael. What is that treasure? The Torah. And he's giving it to them finally right now. That made them say, Hashem yivarech esamo b'shalom. That was the conversation. But nobody, even though they realized, and Bilam told them, this is what's happening right now. Bnei Yisrael is getting the Torah. It's making everyone shake. It's making the whole world have earthquakes. It's making everybody get shocked from what's going on. No, even though that happened, nobody came to be Megayer except for Yisrael. Yisrael was the only person that came to be a Ger. Yeah, there was the Erev Rav before who was shocked at what happened to Mitzrayim. Okay, the Erev Rav was one thing altogether. Erev Rav's one thing. But here, Yisrael is the only guy that got up and said, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crazy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything. I'm going to come and be Megayer.
Well, he did have a bit of an advantage over everybody else.
Because he was the father-in-law, right?
His son-in-law is the leader of these people.
You understand, right? But everybody looked at this. Everybody should have seen this and said, this is crazy. They all knew about Kriyat Yamsuk because they all had that water split throughout the lands. They all knew about Kriyas HaTorah. They all knew about Matan Torah because they heard, they were shocked, they were scared, they ran to Bilam HaRasha. But can you imagine this, going up to Bilam HaRasha? What's going on? Well, God, you know, the God who created the entire world is giving a Torah, a book of laws to the Jews. And everybody's like, okay, I can go home now. What do you mean you can go home now? There's a nation that's getting something right now, and you're going home, and you're walking out, and you're just saying, like, forget it, I don't need it right now. I'm perfectly fine. The fact that they wouldn't be able to go, what was it that made Yisroel so shocked he was ready to go while they didn't? And if you say, well, his son-in-law and everything, okay, I understand he was related to the guy. He wanted to see what was going on, get it in, so to speak. I get that. I definitely get that. But was he the only person who was able to figure this out? So Rav Moshe says the following, by Yishma Yisro, that he heard about this entire thing. Now, everybody knows that it's better to see something than it is to hear something. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came down from Shemayim, after 40 days in Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Leich, you know, raid, Shichei Samchad, that your nation has sinned. Go down quickly because your nation has sinned. Go take care of them. He didn't break the Luchos until he saw the Egel Azov. He knew that they had sinned. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, your people have sinned. He knew that they had done something wrong. He even davened for them while he was still up there. But he didn't break the Luchos until he came down from Shemayim, came down from Har Sinai, saw exactly what was going on with the Macholos and everything that was happening there, took the Luchos, and then he smashed them to the ground. But there's a difference in how people hear things. Some people hear things and they just understand it so well. I mean, Yisro knew the plans of the Egyptians. He was one of the chief advisors. He saw the Mida Keneged Mida that was given over to the Mitzrayim. He saw what they wanted to do to Bnei Yisrael. We spoke about this before, but what they wanted to do, throw the kids into the river, and at the end they get drowned by that same river that Paro needed to shech the 150 babies every morning and night to bathe in their blood, and the whole river turns into blood. All the different Mida Keneged Midas that happened there. He saw what was happening. He realized that was right up against them. Others heard and they shook in fear. Wow, this is a powerful God. Whoa, hope that doesn't happen to me. Something like that. But Yisro didn't treat it as just it was a faraway story and like in faraway land that happened to some other people or anything like that. Yisro looked at it and said, this is no gay to me. I can't believe that I was so close to this. I've said this story before, but it's such an unbelievable story. I originally heard it from Rav David Kaplan, who is Mashkech and Beis, and he's one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Or Sameach. He said this story over and over. He can't get over the story. But there were Israelis that there was a cab driver. There was an Israeli cab driver, obviously not from, and, wasn't wearing kippah, wasn't wearing tzitzis, wasn't doing, didn't look like he was religious at all. And he had Rav Chatzko Abramsky in the back seat. And he turned and he said, are you a rabbi? And he said, yes, I am. And he said to him, I've got a story to tell you. You have to hear this story. It's an unbelievable story. Me and a bunch of my friends, we were Israelis. We just finished the army. We left and we went to South America. We wanted to have an adventure. Went to South America and we were camping out in the jungles there. And while we were there, one of the men went off to go get something, whatever it was. And we heard like a muffled scream. We ran over and we saw that he was surrounded by a snake. This huge anaconda had gone around him and it started to coil itself around him. So we ran up to him with our machetes and we tried cutting the snake, but every time we came near the snake's mouth, it was extremely quick, kept coming near us, and there was nothing we could do. We tried shooting, but we were afraid. If we shot it, what if we shot a friend? We didn't know what to do. So we were standing there shocked, not knowing what to do, and we yelled out loud. We yelled out, Dudu, that was the name of the guy. Shikra Kriyashma, read Kriyashma. So the Israeli, who was being, surrounded by the snake, yelled out and he said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And the cab driver turns to Rav Chatzkol Bronsky and he says, I swear to you that as soon as he said the word Echad, the snake let go of Dudu, let go of the guy, and immediately went off into the middle of the jungle. And he lived. He went to Bnei Brak, he became a Rav, he is pious, and he's dressed like a chassid right now, and he's a tremendous, tremendous tzaddik who lives in Bnei Brak. So Rav Chatzkol Bronsky said, unbelievable. What about you? So the cab driver looked at him and said, no, you don't understand. This didn't happen to me. It happened to him. It wasn't me. I wasn't the one there. Said, I don't understand. I realize that you're not the one directly involved. But if you look at it the way Yisro did, Yisro looked at it as, yeah, I know it happened to Bnei Yisro into the midstream, and I wasn't there at the time. I went back to Midian. I realize that happened. But don't you see that these things are no gay to you? Everything is no gay to you in one way or another. You just have to sit there and you have to realize that you are part of the whole story. You're part of the entire thing. Yisro understood that. Yisro heard it, and he knew that this was a calling. Somebody was calling out, and he was listening. He knew he had to do something about it. And every day this happens to us, and just be able, you have to be able to take it and be able to go. That was the point, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, of seeing the Kol HaKolos at Har Sinai. It wasn't just hearing the Aseret HaDibros. That's not what it was all. It wasn't just the Aseret HaDibros being told to them. It was looking at the Aseret HaDibros, seeing the Dibros appear in front of their eyes so that they could, that they were ro'u as the Kolos. Because it's not enough to just hear it. You have to be able to be affected by it. Kriyas Yamsuf was a killer. I guess you can say it that way. But nobody was really sure what to do with just Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf was not enough. Then Melchamas Amalek came. Look at what Melchamas Amalek was. Amalek was an unbelievable line. Rashi says those were the two things that Yisro took in his head, and that's the reason why he became a ger. Melchamas Amalek and Kriyas Yamsuf. Why in the world? Who in the world would fight Bnei Yisrael after that happened? I mean, who in the world would be that stupid? I mean, they just decimated the land of Mitzrayim. They destroyed the entire nation. Kriyas Yamsuf was felt throughout the entire land. Everybody knew about it. The Shira. They knew about all these things. And Amalek is stupid enough to go up and fight them now? Now you're going to go and fight them? At least wait a week. But they didn't even wait a week. They waited not even 3 days. How in the world could that be? And Yisrael saw that and he said, it must be that there can be evil people in this world that deny God's clear existence. Even if God would come out there and he'd say, here I am God, and spell it out in the clouds, you're going to have that guy in the radio who's going to be like, yeah, there was a classic serious formation of clouds that caused all these words to come out. It's not real, of course. There is no God. The clearest type of ideas that a Kodesh Baruch Hu could say, here I am, what else do you want me to do? Yet there are always people like Amalek. What are you supposed to do? Yisro at first thought that after Kriyas Yamsuf, it's good enough to be a Noahide. Keep the Shemitz of Bnei Noah. Keep those seven mitzvos. Maybe live in Eretz Yisrael, be a Ger Toshav or something. And that's it. What else do you really need to do? You really need to do a little bit more than that? You really need to keep another 606 mitzvos? These seven are good enough. To do those seven are just fine. But once he saw that people are such fools, that there are such people in the world like Amalek, people that are able to do such terrible, terrible things, he realized the Chinuch of Midian is not going to do it well enough for his kids. He's got to go more. He's got to be another step further. He has to be Megayer. He has to bring himself to Klal Yisrael, not only to be around, he has to be part of Klal Yisrael, to get away from all those people out there, the people that just don't get it, people that just aren't around there. He needs to have people around. And that's what Bilam did. Think about it. Bilam told all the people who came up to him. Bilam told all the people, and they came up and they said, what is it? He said, it's Matan Torah. Don't worry, it has nothing to do with you. Your job in this world is not to go to the Jews. It's not to go to Matan Torah. Because Bilam was the guy who advised Paro to kill the Jews in the first place. But what did Yisro say when he was in Mitzrayim? Yisro's advice was completely different. What was Yisro's advice? Get out. Get away from the evildoers. Get away. As soon as he heard that they were going to do this, that they were going to kill the Jews, Yisro ran. Yisro ran away because that's what he is. He runs away from those types of people. As soon as he saw his advice wasn't going to be listened to by Paro, he ran. As soon as he saw that all these atheists and all these garbage people, that they were going to be people, and he was going to be joining rank with them, he said, I'm out. He ran to Bnei Yisrael. It's exactly what Yisro is all about. And still, who comes from Yisro? Who's Yisro's son? We know his daughters. We know his daughters. His daughters are obviously the wife of Moshe ben Tzipora, as well as the wife of Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Those were two daughters that married. We know another son, Chevra Keni, but he might not have been a son himself. Chevra Keni was married to Yael. He might have been a grandson, a great-grandson, but he was married to Yael. Remember, Yael's the one that took the peg and knocked into Sisera's head. But who was a famous son of Yisro that just didn't make it? Balak. Balak ben Tzipor. Tzipor is supposed to be Tzipora as a male. It's supposed to be referring to Yisro. Yisro's son was Balak, who wanted to destroy all of Klal Yisrael. Balak, remember, was a Midianite prince who moved to Moab when they realized that they needed to destroy Moshe Rabbeinu. So they took a guy from Midian who knew what Moshe Rabbeinu was all about. Who better to take than his brother-in-law? Then his brother-in-law, Balak, was a tremendous Rasha. And he was born from Yisro. And Yisro didn't know what to do. What kind of a person could be this big of a Rasha? When he saw it, he said, we have to go to Klal Yisrael. And it could very well be that Balak came with them. It doesn't say anywhere that Balak didn't come with them. We have no idea. But regardless, Balak didn't get it. There's always people like that. Always people like that in this world that just don't make it. Everyone has an Aseret HaDibros. Everyone asks, when it goes to Anochim, the very first one of the Aseret HaDibros, the strangest lashon, yeah.
Was Yisro Yair in the end?
100%, yeah. Vayichad Yisro. So Nasa Besaro, Chedudin, according to Shmuel, and according to Rav, we'll see it soon, that he took a Cherev Chada al Besaro. He took a sharp sword and he cut himself. He gave himself a bris milah right there. So yeah, 100% he was Mitzgayer, according to all opinions. The question is if he stayed. That's in Parshas Baloscha. There's machlokis between the Rishonim, whether or not Yisro stayed with Bnei Yisrael, or he went back to Midian to try to convert other people. That's a bit of a machlokis. Yeah, but either way, he would have been Mitzgayer. Mitzgayer for sure. The first one of the Aseret HaDibros is, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. I showed Tzichom Eretz Mitzrayim, me based on that brought you out of Mitzrayim. It's a weird question. Why would you say that? Why not say, I am Hashem your God that created the world? Wouldn't that be an easier question? An easier thing to say? I am God that created the world, which is 100% true and probably more obvious. But I took you out of Mitzrayim? Like, well, what's this, I took you out of Mitzrayim? What's the big deal that a Kodesh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim? And it's really a question about everything. Rav Shor asks it. Our whole Chag is based on Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim. It's Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, every Kiddush. Everything we say is Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim. Why do we keep mentioning Letzias Mitzrayim? What's the big deal? And the Pshat is, says Rav Shor, the point of life is not to do whatever you want, whenever you want, to just be free to go ahead and do things. That's not a life. The point of life is to be able to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, gave us the Torah, and now we're required to do something to be able to follow Him. To do what He says is the right thing to do. Because He's the one who created us in the first place. In other words, how did He create us? Not by forming the world and making the world be here. No. 2,448 years later, He took us out of Mitzrayim, gave us the Torah, and made us a nation. That was our creation. That's what it means by I am Hashem. Not that created the world. That's not the Iker. The Iker is that gave you a thing to do. Gave you something to be. Gave you something, a meaningful life. A reason for living. A purpose that everybody else is searching for. He gave it to you in the year 2448. If it wasn't for that, then what would be the purpose of creation? Why bother creating the world in the first place? The point is not Hotzei, it's not Barasicha. It's not that I created you. The point is Hotzei Sicha, I took you out. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu named his kids in the opposite order. Think about it. Which was he first? Was he first saved from the sword of Paro? Or was he first a ger in a strange land? I mean, the first thing that happened to him was Hatzileni, he was Eliezer. God saved me from the Charev Paro. After that, he went to Midian, and then he was a Ger. He was a Ger in that land, and he named his kid Gershom. Why would he name his kid Gershom before Eliezer, which was chronologically the first thing that happened? Why would you name your kid Gershom before Eliezer? And the answer is, this is the simplistic. Because what's the point of being saved from Mitzrayim if you just integrate yourself into the nation that you then join? If you would have left Mitzrayim and became a Cushi, as we spoke about before when he became king of the Cushim, if he became a Cushi and married a Cushi woman and lived the rest of his life with the Cushim, if he would have gone to Midian, followed the Avodah Zarah, and did whatever the Midianim did, then what was the point of saving him from Mitzrayim in the first place? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu do such a thing for him to not do what he was supposed to do? That's the power. It's that once he saw that he was a ger in Midian, that he wasn't part of their culture, that he wasn't part of Yisro, that he was different, once they saw that, then he could say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for saving me. Now there's a point behind saving me. Now there was a point of bringing me away from the Karev of Paro. It's that concept of what is the point. It's Asher Hotzei Sicha, not Asher Bara Sicha. That's the idea behind it. Yisro came to Bnei Yisrael. And once Yisro came to Bnei Yisrael, he heard from Moshe everything that happened. It's strange. He knew about this stuff in the first place. But the Pasuk says the following. It says, Vayabu Yisro Chosen Moshe Vanu V'Yisro on Moshe. They came. Vayomer Moshe Ani Chosen Chayisro. Vayitze Moshe Likrat Smozno. He went out to go greet his father-in-law. Vayisaper Moshe L'Chosen Ois Kol Asher Asa Hashem L'Faro L'Mitzrayim. Moshe told his father-in-law everything that God did to Paro in the Mitzrayim. Alo Dos Yisro on the what happened to Bnei Yisrael. It's Kol Asher Mitzo Asam Bader. I think the article translates that as travails that they had found down the road by Atzilei Hashem, and Hashem had saved them. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu had to tell him. Didn't Yisro know this? Yisro knew about everything that was happening. What did Moshe Rabbeinu tell him that was extra? So the obvious pshat is, hearing it from Moshe Rabbeinu has got to be awesome. Like, you want to hear the story from the guy that was involved. So I was in the palace, right? Now get this. There's like this crazy door there, and it went up. Like, obviously, you're going to hear it from the Baal Dover, the guy who's there. It's got to be unbelievable. That's got to be an awesome thing altogether. But it's more than that. It's more than that. Right after Moshe Rabbeinu tells him all these things, it says, Vayichad Yisro, which is a weird word altogether. And Yisro was ecstatic. Al kol hatov asher asah Hashem l'Yisrael. He had simcha on all the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Yisrael, asher hitzilu mi'yad Mitzrayim, that he had saved him from the hands of Mitzrayim. But Yisro knew this already. What made him so happy that he didn't know up until now? What did Moshe Rabbeinu say to him? What did Moshe Rabbeinu come up to him with? That all of a sudden, Vayichad Yisro, he wasn't happy up until now. Up until now, he just heard about it, and that was it. Now Moshe Rabbeinu tells him something, and he's like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah,
like, what made him so crazy?
They're the ones who are really happy. They're the ones who are really enjoying.
Whoa! Ouch. Yoni, you must be an FFB. Well, yes, I 100%. Obviously, Bali Chuba are going to have that like simcha that's right there, right. But he should have had it in the beginning when he first heard about it. I mean, it should have been immediately. As soon as he heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, the Matan Torah, and Milchamas Amalek, he should have been like, wow, that's crazy stuff. Let me go join the Yisrael. It should have been immediately. He should have danced his way over with his cymbals and drums all the way down to Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. But no, he was there. He was fine. He was very, very complacent. Just sort of like, I'm Yisrael, you know, I'm your father-in-law. If you want to come greet me, I'm fine with that. Then Moshe Rabbeinu tells him everything. He's like, oh my gosh, now I've got to become a Jew. All of a sudden he gets so happy. What happened? So what happened to him exactly? So here's the deal. And according to the Medrash, he gave himself, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, he gave himself a bris right there. I mean, you got to get a lot to give yourself a bris publicly, right outside the cloud. I mean, that's got to be, there's got to be something there that he told him. So what did he tell him? There's a Chassam Sofer, quoting a Gemara in Erechin, Tes Zayin Amabez. What are some of these surin that we get in this world? Like, what is the tachlis surin? Like, what is considered surin in this world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will put it on our scale, la'olam haba, and it'll take away some of our averos because you had these surin? Give me some of those surin. Gemara says, how about this? You bought clothes, you thought they fit you, and they don't fit you exactly like you thought they would. Or they shrink in the wash a little bit. That the Gemara doesn't mention, but I'm adding that on a little bit. They shrink in the wash a little bit. You put it on, and you're like, oh, this is a brand new shirt. Brand new shirt. I went to Vogue once, and I saw a guy come inside, and he had this jean suit. So, you know, he gave it to them, and they had washed it instead of dry cleaned it. I don't know what I would have done with it, but it was like a Gerbeau suit. You know what I'm talking about? Francois Gerbeau, he was like screaming about it, like, this is a Gerbeau suit, this is a Gerbeau suit, this cost me $500. You guys ruined it because they had washed it, and you know how like black jeans is like very, very dark, and this had like the little lint that was coming out of it. It looked a little bit different. He's going crazy, absolutely crazy. I'm like, they couldn't understand him. And it was like a whole long conversation going on between the two. And like, I was sitting there because, I don't know, everybody was with that guy, and I wasn't being helped. And I was just like, okay, I'll enjoy this while I'm here. You know, and they were sitting there. If you have something like that happen to you, right there is Yisurin. But not only that, if you just bought it and you expected it to fit you and it just doesn't fit you, you made a mistake, that's Yisurin. That's considered Yisurin. What? Erchin, Tess Dynama Bays. The Jerboso who happened in Vogue. So that was there. Number two. You're expecting, yeah, Tess Dynama Bays. Expecting a hot cup of tea, right? And you pick it up and you drink it and it's cold. And you're like, oh, no! That's not what I expected. You order a Dunkin' Donuts coffee and they give you a coffee and it's an iced coffee instead of a regular coffee. Or vice versa. You order an iced coffee and they give you a hot coffee instead. Something happens the exact opposite.
You're reaching your pocket for 10.
There you go. That's exactly the next one. You put your hand in your pocket to pull out 3 coins and you pull out 2 coins instead of 3. So you got to put your hand back. The Gemara says, by the way, if you pull out 2 coins, if you only needed 2 and you pulled out 3, that's not Yisurin. Because you could just easily drop the 3rd coin. That's the Gemara. The Gemara says that's not Yisurin. But to pull out, you're supposed to pull out 3 and you only pull out 2, that's Yisurin. The Kol Kach Lama, what's the point of Yisurin, says the Gemara? Because if anybody says Tanda Be Rabbi Yishmael, unbelievable line. Kol Sha'avru of our Goyim Yom below Yisurin, if you go 40 days of your life without any Yisurin in this world, Kiva Olama. You got your entire Olam Haba. You're done with Olam Haba. There's no Olam Haba. Your entire Olam Haba has been in Olam Haba. To go 40 days without Yisurin, without anything bad happening to you, Kibbo Olami says, Rashi, Kol Menuchaso La'asid, all of your rest, La'asid level, it's all gone. You just got it right now. Says the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says in that was Yisro's problem. It's not natural for a person to have that sort of a thing happen to them. So when Yisro heard all the crazy things that was happening to Bnei Yisrael, all the crazy things, he sat there and he said, wait a second, they got Makos happening to the Mitzrayim while they were healed by them, so to speak. They got Kriyas Yamsuf. They were able to win that war against Amalek. They had all the mud and the Be'er and the Ananiya covered and all these crazy things. Where are the Yisurin? If only good things are happening to them, then what's going on? Well, how can this be? Oh, but he didn't know about that. All he heard was the great stuff. He heard about that and he said, I don't know what to think. What in the world is going on? Does Bnei Yisrael get anything bad? Did they ever have Yisurin? Like, what is that? So he went to Moshe Rabbeinu and he asked him, what does this mean? What about Yisurin? Why are you guys getting no Yisurin? And it's been 40 days. Because it was right before Matan Torah or right after Matan Torah when Yisrael came to Klal Yisrael, either right before or right after, one of the two. And he knew it's been 40 days. What in the world is going on? How come Bnei Yisrael isn't getting any Yisurin? So he talked to Moshe. And Moshe Rabbeinu told him, did you know that 4/5 of us died in Makas Choshech? Did you realize that there was a fight between by Kriyas Yamsuf? And there were a lot of people that were crying out and saying, let's go back to Mitzrayim? Did you realize we were starving when we left? And we didn't have any food and we had to ask for mun and for the slav? We had bitter water and then we didn't have any water at all and we were thirsty for 3 days? Yeah, we did have Yisurin. Moshe Rabbeinu not only told him about the good things, he told him that there were bad things that happened as well. And at that point, Yisur said, unbelievable. Even throughout all the good things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, he still finds the time to give you your kapar for things that you might have done wrong in this world. He still made sure, Vayatzilei Mashem, he still made sure that things were there. And even when you guys did something wrong, like graffiti, where you ruffled your dying in a Torah, where you were weakening your hands from everything that you would learn tomorrow, where you didn't do everything you were supposed to do, even then, you still went ahead and did what you were supposed to do. That's by Yichad Yisro. Yisro said, I can't believe that made him so happy that Bnei Yisrael is not only getting Olam Haza, but they're getting Olam Haba as well. Such a people I have to join. I have a kasha though. That's the Chassam Sofer's shot. You know, there's machlokas whether or not Dora Midbar got Olam Haba. There's machlokas if they ever got Olam Haba. It's a Gemara on Kuf Tes, a Kuf Yud and Medes. So Rabbi Akiva says they don't have a chelik in Olam Haba. The Shom Bamidbar the Yitamu, the Shom Yamusu. They're going to die, and Rabbi Akiva says they will never come back. You know where else he proves it from? Asher Nishbati Biapi, Imi Vauna Minuchasi. I swore in my wrath they will never come to my resting place. You know where that's from? Kabbalah Shabbos. Yeah. I've always loved it that for some reason we have the minhag to sing this out loud. You ever wonder what you say? For 40 years, I fought with you in the desert, and I said, you're a people that is very disgusting of the heart, and they don't know my ways. I have sworn in my wrath, you will never come to Olam Haba. Shiru Lashem. Isn't it unbelievable? That's what you're saying. It's the craziest line. And for some reason, everybody sings it. I have no idea why we sing it. No idea. It should be like a lamentation. And for some reason, it's the proof that Rabbi Akiva has that Dor Mipor has no chelik in Olam Haba. No chelik. Absolutely no chelik. That's one opinion. What? Which one? This is in Sanhedrin Kufyot Mabez. And then Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon ben Asi argue, they do have a chiluk in halacha, but they argue and they say, yeah, they do, it's, don't worry about it, I swore my wrath, but I didn't mean it. That's what they say about the line, Hashem nishbati b'api, but the api I took away. And he gave himself a bris and everything, and it was all, I don't know, maybe it was all based on this idea, maybe the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva is based on how much Yisurin takes away from you in this world. Were those Yisurin actual Yisurin, or were they not Yisurin? If they were actual Yisurin, they deserve Olam Haba. If they weren't actual Yisurin, then maybe they don't deserve Olam Haba. Maybe they weren't supposed to get Olam Haba. I have no idea. But it's an unbelievable machlokas. It's based on an idea that they were just, you know, where Yisro came from. Let's finish with this. Sanhedrin Sadid Alam and Alf says that Yisro was heavier, cherev chadal b'saro. He took a sharp sword, and he was brought it on his skin, and he gave himself a bris milah. The other opinion is Shmuel, that was Rav. Shmuel says that he nasu b'saro chedudin chedudin, that he had goosebumps. He had goosebumps when he heard what had happened in Mitzrayim. So here's the question. Ask Rav Olson. Where is Yisro from? He's from Midian. Even if you want to say he's from Mitzrayim, he's from Midian or Mitzrayim, right? You know, Midian was a son of... help me with this.
Lot.
Not Lot.
Huh?
Not... No.
Like
no. So crazy, right? Nobody realizes this. Midian is a son of Avram Avinu and Keturah. He was one of the six sons of Keturah. Yishbak, Midan, Midian. You always skip that part. But Midian was a son of Avram Avinu. Yisro was either from Midian, he was a grandson of Avram Avinu, right? Or he was a Mitzrayim. Either way, you have Bris Milah. You have a Bris Milah. Midian is from Avram Avinu. They all have been, the B'nai Keturah got Bris Milahs. So he already had a Bris Milah. And even if you say he was from Mitzrayim, remember Yosef Atzadik had made it in the rules of Mitzrayim that you had to get Bris Milahs. See, either way, he had a Bris Milah. So then he took a harsh sword and he put it on his skin and he went ahead and gave himself a Bris Milah. Not true. He already had a Bris Milah. Why would he need this? Or if he did, then it would be different. All you need is a tafas dam bris. Hatafas dam bris does not require a harsh sword. All you need to do, and this is what we do nowadays, like sitzin hama'akvinis apriya. If a guy already has a bris milah, you have a very sharp nail. Look at Rabbi Furst or any other mohel's nail. They have one nail that's really, really sharp, and they cut it with the nail. That's all you need to do. You just need to use a nail, not a sword, not a knife. You don't need that. That's only if you mess up royally. But you'd normally just need a regular nail. So even if you answer that he needed the sword to be able to take care of that part of the Bris Milah, it still doesn't work. What in the world is going on? What did Yisro do and why did he do it? So here's the idea. Rav Wolfson brings this down based on Chassam Sofer. Everything we do is based on Yetzias Mitzrayim. We mentioned two times a day, and everything Yetzias Mitzrayim was the ultimate behind any miracle, anything good that happened. Yisro heard what had happened in Midian, but he didn't understand the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim. He didn't understand what it was, example. He felt bad for Mitzrayim. He got goosebumps of Mitzrayim. Why did they deserve to die? What did they do? Yeah, they were an evil nation, but are they any more evil than any other nation? So he went to Moshe, like anyone else who has a problem. You go to the Gadol B'Yisro, you go to the Gadol that's around, and you ask him, what's pshat? Why in the world did this happen? And you ask his opinion, and Moshe explained. He explained everything in the plan of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, and Yisro was shocked by how clear HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan was with everything that we've been talking about, with Yisurin and still getting something good. And he understood he wanted to be Megayer immediately, but he had a milah. So he wanted to get rid of the tzitzin ha'akven. So he used the nail, but he messed up. Yisro tried giving himself a bris milah with his sharp nail and wasn't able to do so, and therefore had to pull out the knife to be able to take care of it. You should know. How do we know that he was able to give himself a bris milah in the first place? Every person's soul comes from either one of two different shoroshim, two different roots. Different roots where they're originally stemmed from. Kayin or Hevel. Even Shais comes from Hevel. But it's Kayin or Hevel. For Wolfson, I have no idea where he gets this from, but we're going to go with him. One can tell if you're from Kayin. You can tell if you're from Kayin. If you're very good with your hands and making things. If you're a creator, a builder, somebody who does things, then you might be a tikkun of Kayin. If you're a thinker, a person who deals more with the esoteric going in your mind, then that person is from Hevel. The example that's given is throughout Kayin's kids. It says Chanoch built cities. There were three Chanochs, by the way. Chanoch of Esav, Chanoch, one of the fathers of Noach, the great grandfather of Noach, and then a Chanoch from Kayin.
What is your bull?
You're probably wrong. Which one is more important? The question is which one is more prevalent. Yeah, it would have to be which one is more important within you. I would assume. Again, this is dealing with something that's not my forte. I have absolutely no idea. Yup. What?
Son of Reuben.
Son of Reuben. Oh, Chanoch. Oh, that's true. There's four. That's crazy.
There's three then.
One is from the son of Kayin. One is from the sons of one of the grandfathers of Adam Rishon. And then there's a third Chanoch that's from Esav. That's from Ace of also. This Forkanos. Wow. Crazy name. Anyway, regardless, Yubel, Yuval, and Tubal Kain. You guys remember them? Yubel, Yuval, and Tubal Kain were the creators of music, tents, and weapons. They were the ones that were all from Kain. So Kain was a rotzeach, a murderer. Yisro was a tikkun from Kain. Kishvasayim, Yukam, Kain, Yisro, Korach, Mitzri. Those three people, the Ish Mitzri that Moshe Rabbeinu killed, Korach and Yisro, they were all supposed to be a tikkun for Kain in everything they did. So if Kain was a murderer, that means that Yisro should have been an expert mohel. Because if you're from the star, if you're from the mazel, that it makes you into a murderer, that makes you into a rotzeach, that the exact opposite type of idea should make you into a mole. And yet he couldn't do a mila here. And it was a very easy one. He had already had a mila. All he had to do was cut off a little bit of the edge, and he wasn't able to do it. That should have been a sign. And he had to bring out a cherub chado, a very sharp sword, in order to do it. That should have been a sign to him. See, God doesn't want you. God is discouraging you. God is telling you he doesn't want you in his nation. This is a story of Revelvel Soloveitchik. Related to all Soloveitchik family. He was Mesader Kedushin once. And there was a very nervous chassan. So the nervous chassan took the ring, and, you know, and tried putting it on her finger, and missed. I don't know how you missed, but he missed. Fell to the ground. Picked it up and tried it again. Hariyam Kedushinly, missed. Third time, missed. So the fourth time, finally, he like held his hand, and she held her hand and finger right there. Finally was able to get it on. And Malka, everything was all good, right? Everything was fine. So they asked Revelvel, the Talmid went up to Revelvel and said, oh, Chazakah, it's a sign. They shouldn't be married. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving a sign they shouldn't be married. Revelvel said, no, it wasn't time yet. I went too quick. The time for her to get married was a couple seconds later. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make it that she dropped the ring three times, that the proper time for the wedding would happen. It would happen in the exact moment that it was supposed to happen. That's not a sign. It's not anything like that. Yisro understood that it's not a sign just because there's something that happened, a little bit of Yisurin, that you can't give yourself what you normally would be able to do. You're becoming Jewish. You're going to get a little bit of Yisurin. They're going to have challenges. That's going to happen. That's part of Klal Yisro. Part of being part of Klal Yisro is to be able to purpose of overcoming those challenges and to live life happily as a Jew. Yisro understood that and said, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, yeah, it took me a long time. I had to bring out a sharp sword to be able to give myself a bris mila. Baruch Hashem, I'm able to do something. Who knows if it wasn't all because chedudin. Because once you start getting involved in the tumah of the other nations, start realizing that, oh, I feel bad for those Mitzrayim. Even though, okay, I hear where you're coming from, it's sad that the Mitzrayim had to die. But for you to start feeling for people who are Rishayim, it's perhaps that's what helped him become that way, that he lost his ability to become that perfect mole, that he lost that ability to cut off the mila perfectly well. Regardless, the summary is, Yisro didn't just hear, he saw what he had to do. It's Hosei Sicha, not Barasicha, that Hashem took us out, that not that he just created us, that's why we listen to him. Number three, now after hearing about Yisurin with Simcha, now Yisro's happy because he realizes it was Yisurin along with all the good things that they got. Now Yisro's happy. Number four, he gave himself a new mila and he knew that it's okay if you have a little bit of Yisurin. You have a little bit of problems when you first join in or something happens. It's okay to have a little bit of Yisurin. That is the point of Klal Yisro. That's the point of life. We'll stop with that, everybody. Have a good Shabbos.
Sure.
Do we finish off the Shabbos?